Michelle, and I'm the Connections Minister, and I want to introduce you to Tori Hillis. Yes, I've got some friends here now. She is going to be a junior at Brazoswood High School this year, and she has gotten to share her story a couple of times over the summer at some different Next Gen events, but we really wanted for our Sunday morning crowds, both in person and online, to get to hear from her also. So I'm just going to turn her loose. Tori, will you share with us about your journey to faith in Jesus?
Yeah, so I grew up in a family that really didn't attend church a lot, and faith really wasn't something I knew a whole lot about or was taught a whole lot about. But by the summer before my seventh grade year, I was kind of in this place of just confusion of not really knowing who God was, but knowing that I believed in him. My older sister, Savannah, who was 16 at the time, invited Cassie and I to start doing Bible studies with her because she had came to know Jesus and wanted the same for us. And so through those Bible studies is where I was able to learn about the love that God had for me, and I really was able to start building the foundation of that relationship. But then it was time to go back to school, and my seventh grade year started, and 2 weeks into my seventh grade year, my house flooded, and this was devastating for my family and I. Just trying to adjust to this new normal, that's really whenever the Bible studies kind of stopped and all of the attention really went to trying to focus on what was life going to be like now. But in the midst of this worry, my older sister, Kaylin, she gave birth to my niece, Kinsley. And Kinsley became what our world really revolved around. I devoted every day to just being the best aunt that I could be for her. In that time is really when I really just put every ounce of effort towards that. And nothing else mattered anymore. It didn't matter that my house flooded. It just mattered that I could be there for her. But whenever Kinsley was 3 months old, she passed away while she was sleeping. And I'd never dealt with any grief like that in my life. And it was very difficult. And I just began doubting everything that I'd learned the summer before about how much God loved me. Because if he loved me, then how could he take this beautiful thing away from me? And so in that time is when my small group leaders stepped up and they came and met my twin sister, Cassie, and I. They picked us up. They'd take us to small group. They helped get us food before small group. They just really showed us that they cared and that they loved us very much. And at that small group is where I was really shown the value in community and the value in everybody coming together in faith. It really helped me get through that dark season. And then my friend from small group, Claire, invited Cassie and I to go to junior high camp with her that summer. And at that camp is where I stepped over the line of faith and gave my life to Jesus. And in August of that summer is when I was baptized here at church.
That's awesome. So you've stepped over the line of faith and you've gotten baptized. And what I hear is that so much of your process of discovering faith in Jesus had not only to do with you opening the Bible for yourself and learning the truth about who he is and how much he loves you, but also a huge part of it was God's people in your life coming around you, supporting you, encouraging you, and loving you through those next steps. So I just think that's so awesome. So at this point, you've made that decision. You've been baptized to go public with your faith. What were some things that happened after that to kind of help you grow and develop in your faith?
Yeah, so my small group leader, Amanda, actually helped me a lot to start taking next steps to grow. And the first thing I did after I was baptized was I committed to showing up to small group every week. And that really allowed me to grow deeper relationships, not only in my small group, but with God, and just really learn more about him. And as I learned more about him and gained more wisdom, that's whenever I really was able to dive into my relationship with him. And then whenever I started high school the next year, God really gave me the strength to be set apart and start living a life devoted to Jesus, not just towards learning about him, but in every aspect of my life, living for him. And going into high school, that made it a lot rougher, but he got me through it and he gave me strength to do it anyway. And then my sophomore year started, and that's whenever I took the step to really begin taking a leadership role in my friend group, in my small group, and everywhere, and just helping them to grow and get to know God better like I had gotten to do. And then this summer, I was given the opportunity to lead a group of junior high girls and really teach them about the love of God, just like my sister did for me whenever I was their age.
That's so cool. So much of your developing faith in Jesus is about continuing to learn, but also the realization that you need to, I think you said, be devoted to Jesus, like give him control of every part of everything, which you're right, it's harder in high school. And I think that it's so cool too, how the way that you are guiding others, like what you've said is you wanted to do for others what had been done for you. So as you grew in your faith, you just about couldn't help but try to lead others to faith as well and help others to grow in that. So I just love your story so much. Is there anything else you want to share with us before we go?
Yeah, actually, so this building, this place is really where I said goodbye to Kinsley at her funeral. And I remember that day. I remember sitting in this room and just doubting everything that I had learned and just doubting God's love for me so much and doubting what he was going to do with this season in my life. But now I get to sit here today in this very same building and tell y'all about how he did move and how I get to sit here and have a stronger faith because of the trials that I went through with Kinsley.
Gotten to see how God has helped you to come full circle, both as you guide others and as you get to share with others what God's taught you. So thank you so much. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, and we thank you for Tori, and that there are stories like this, and we know that really these stories are part of your story and the way that you have created your people to belong to you and to also share you and your love with other people. And so we ask that you would give all of us the boldness to do that and that you would show us the opportunities that you've given us to share you with other people. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Well, isn't Tori's story incredible? Y'all give her a hand. Thank you, Tori. Well, guys, this morning as we kick off this circle series, like Joseph told you earlier, we're going to be talking about four very different kinds of powerful circles in our life that impact us in really kind of everyday ways. And today's unique subject to me is kind of represented by a circle that I have a love-hate relationship with, and it's the traffic circle. Anybody familiar with that? The roundabout? We don't have them in our part of the world, but many places where I've gone have traffic circles. Do you love them? Do you hate them? Like, where are my folks that love traffic circles? Anybody? Okay, a couple. First service, not so much. Who are the folks that hate them? Yes, just like, what's going on there? So I have a love-hate relationship with them, and my love of them is this, that they really do keep traffic moving, and when it comes to traffic, like, I want to be moving. But what I hate about them is that they are so very confusing. It's like, when do I get on? When is it my turn to get into this circle, right? How am I going to navigate this? When do I enter into this? And then once you're in it, where do I get out? How do I exit? When is it my turn to get out of the circle? And maybe you've done what I've done before, and that's you've gotten in a traffic circle and you made a full roundabout, right? You made a full circle. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah, you come full circle. And this idea of coming full circle means that we go back to where we started. Now, sometimes coming full circle is a bad thing, right? That phrase, coming full circle and going back to where we started, that can have a negative connotation, but it also can be a really good thing to come full circle. And this morning, what we're going to talk about is a come full circle kind of situation for us as followers of Jesus that's a very positive thing. In fact, it represents not just our passion as Jesus' followers, but also the aim and the goal of our Christ-following life. Because the reality is we are all on the same roundabout. If you're following Jesus, we're all on the same roundabout. The question is just, where are you and where are you going? What's the point of all of this in the Christ-following life? Where are you and where are you going? And maybe that sounds familiar, maybe it doesn't, but I want you to take a look at this quick little video.
Following Jesus is a journey, next step by next step. We're not just wandering aimlessly. No, we move with direction and purpose. That kind of movement needs a plan and a path, a GPS for the journey. The disciple-making pathway is your GPS as you journey with God next step by next step. A follower of Jesus is also called a disciple. You become a new disciple when you discover a relationship with Jesus. At this point on the path, we guide you into next steps as you continue to discover new life in Jesus. With Jesus, you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. As you continue the journey, you become a growing disciple and you continually develop as you learn to know and do what God says. At this point on the path, you guide you into next steps as you continue to develop in your life as a disciple. But here's the deal. Every disciple grows to understand. It's not about you. As you continue the journey, you become a disciple-making disciple and you deploy as you go, living on mission with God. At this point on the path, you guide others into their next steps as you continue to share what you have discovered as a disciple. Next step by next step.
Now, for some of you, that video probably feels familiar because we launched that when we launched our disciple-making pathway back in the spring with a series called Made for More. If you were here for it, you probably remember it. If you weren't, that's okay. In fact, I would encourage you to go back on Brazos Point Media and watch the Made for More series because it'll give you a great picture of who we are and where we're going and why we do what we do. But that whole disciple-making pathway is about this full circle kind of experience that we're going to be talking about today. This is the point of our faith journey when we come full circle in this. And ultimately, today what we're going to be focusing on as we kick off this circle series is the relationships in regards to this deployment phase, phase three of the disciple-making pathway, and what it looks like for us to live deployed. Now, when we talk about living deployed, my guess is that that creates some questions in your mind, some things like, is this really a call for every Christ follower? Or is this idea of living deployed really more for the leaders, for the ministers and the pastors, right? Maybe you ask questions like this. Can I begin to experience this deploy kind of phase of living if I'm on the front end of discovery? Or if I'm on the front end of the development phase, can I also do the deploy, or is that something that I have to grow into over time? Or maybe you're at the point where you say this, I do want to deploy. I want to live deployed, but I don't know how and I don't know where to start. Those are all really good questions about what's next. And so what I want to do this morning is take on those questions as we explore phase three of the disciple-making pathway, this deploy phase. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to take on some of those questions together as we look at the scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 18 this morning. If you have a Bible, turn there to Matthew 4:18. If you're looking for Matthew, it's at the beginning of the New Testament. We call it the Gospel of Matthew. That word gospel means good news. So this is the good news according to Matthew. And it's good news because this is the narrative story of the life of Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, that's all right. We'll put the words on the screen. I would encourage you, use the BPF app and also get a free copy of the Bible from us this morning out of our Welcome Center. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Y'all, I love this passage. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. And y'all, in this simple narrative passage where Jesus is calling his first disciples, I see the fullness of the disciple-making pathway. I see all three phases, discover and develop and deploy. But I also see so clearly the goal of the Christ-following life, the aim of what Jesus is calling us to. I want you to look back through this, right? Jesus said to them, verse 19, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Let me show you all three phases of the pathway in that. We start with this. Circle this first word in this sentence, come. Verse 19, circle that word come, just that one word. This one word represents this first phase of the disciple-making pathway. Because when Jesus says come, this is an invitation from Jesus to you. He's saying, come to me. It's an invitation into relationship, into connection with Christ. It's an invitation to discover the new life that he has to offer you. And for some of you this morning, that's where you're at. You're at this place and you're in this space this morning because you're considering what it is to respond to the invitation of Jesus to come into relationship with him. And let me tell you this, I hope that you'll trust him because there is nothing like this relationship. There's nothing like it and you do need it. So listen to Jesus as he says, come, come to me. And listen to me this morning, because ultimately as we unpack the rest of this, you'll see not only where you're going, but where you will ultimately continue to go as you build your life around Jesus' invitation, this new life that he offers. And so when you begin to discover Jesus in relationship with him, you recognize what it is for him to be your savior, right? We call Jesus savior because he's our rescuer and he's the one that rescues us from our sin. And the reality is this, when you encounter Jesus, everything changes. You see this in the story of Jesus and the brothers. They're fishermen, they encounter Jesus and their life is changed. Everything changes, including our identity. And so as the scene unfolds and these two brothers go from being fishermen to being something else, what is it that their identity changes into? They go from being fishermen, that's who they are, to being disciples. They become disciples in this passage as Jesus is recruiting the first of his disciples at the beginning of his ministry. So let's actually take the time to stop there and make sure we know what a disciple is. You saw it in the Disciple Making Pathway video, but let's be clear about it. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. I want you to write that in your notes because I want you to see how simple it truly is. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. And y'all, this is about a changed identity. We call ourselves Christian. We call ourselves Christ follower, right? And I want you to understand that disciple means the same thing as those two. A Christian is a disciple. A Christ follower is a disciple. A disciple is simply someone who follows Jesus. And that leads us right to the second phase. So it begins with come. And then Jesus says, follow me. And I actually want you to circle those two words together. Two words, follow me, because those two words represent the second phase of the disciple-making pathway. This is about develop. Follow me and develop in the ways of Christ. We grow as disciples by learning from Jesus. We call ourselves Christ follower because we're following the example that Jesus has lived for us. And as we follow Jesus, we become more like Jesus. Right? We grow in our loves change. As our identity is shifted by Jesus, then our priorities are shifted and we begin to love different things. We exchange loves for sin into a love for Christ and our affections change for those things. But not just that, our character also changes. We become more like Jesus, more gracious, more compassionate, more merciful, and yes, less sinful. And so Jesus says, come and follow me and you're gonna grow and you're gonna grow in my ways. And we grow in our relationship recognizing that Jesus is Savior and it's his saving that then motivates us to become more and more and more like him because we're so grateful for the rescue that he's given us. But it's also that we begin to develop this relationship with Jesus where we recognize that he's not just Savior, he's not just rescuer, he's also Lord. He's Master. Right? And we begin to relate to him in that kind of way where we go, you are the boss. You are the one that's calling the shots in my life. And I begin to develop this love of obedience to you and to your word and to your commands and to your law of love. And so Jesus becomes Lord and Master. And in addition to our new identity as follower of Christ or disciple, we begin to have these new priorities and our life becomes about things that are very different from the ways of this world. And that leads us into the third phase of the disciple-making pathway. That leads us back to verse 19, and this describes our God-given calling, our Holy Spirit-empowered passion, and our Jesus-given mission. It's right here in verse 19. Go back to it. Come, right? It's an invitation to discover. Follow me. That's a command to grow, to develop. And then Jesus said this, and I will send you out to fish for people. And I want you to circle three words that represent the third phase of the pathway. Send you out. Because this is the call of God on our lives. And I want you to think about this. This is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry as he's recruiting his first disciples and calling them into relationship with him. And ultimately, this is a foreshadowing of what we see at the end of Jesus' ministry, after his death, after his resurrection, the Great Commission that we sang about just a little bit ago. It's from Matthew 28, and what Jesus says with authority is we are to go and to make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them. Jesus is basically giving them the same call. It's kind of a bookend approach here, right? Where Jesus says, I'm going to send you out. He's inviting these brothers to be disciples, but then he immediately tells them the call of God on your life is to be disciple makers. And if you follow Jesus, he's doing the exact same thing in you. Just like these guys, if you are a disciple, Jesus is doing the same thing in you. He wants you to be a disciple who makes disciples. And that, my friends, is the aim of the Christ following life. I want us to be clear on this. We must understand that every disciple is a disciple maker. It's not just the leaders. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the small group leaders. Every disciple is a disciple maker. And I want you to think about these people that Jesus called on the water that day. These are fishermen, right? These are men whose lives are built around this identity of fishing for fish. And Jesus totally reorients and reshapes their whole life and gives them new meaning and new purpose. And that's what Jesus does for us too. That's what he's wanting to do in you as you embrace this and recognize that every disciple is a disciple maker. Every Christian, every Christ follower's goal, aim, life purpose is to make disciples for the glory of God, because we've experienced this changed identity. And this changed identity leads us to changed priorities. And so it's like this. It's this simple. A cake maker does what? Makes cakes. A home builder builds houses. A pipe fitter fits pipes. And a disciple maker makes disciples. And so Christ follower, this is who we are, and who we are determines what we do. This is what we do with our lives to the glory of God. And so if a disciple is just simply someone who follows Jesus, then what is a disciple maker? Let's make sure we get that and understand that's a great question. What is a disciple maker? It's not as scary as you think it is. I want you to understand, it's not that scary and it's not that complicated. I really do believe it's this simple. This is a disciple maker. Get this definition in your notes as well. A disciple maker is someone who guides others to discover and develop faith in Jesus. It's not that scary, is it? It's a guide in the lives of other people that guides them to discover what you've already discovered in Jesus, this life-changing relationship that has brought you freedom and forgiveness and purpose and peace, helping others to discover that. And not just those who are outside of this relationship with God, but also other Christ followers, to help them develop in the things that you've developed, to share what God has shared with you, to help them to grow in knowledge and application of the scriptures, right? It's someone that guides others to discover and develop faith in Jesus. But I don't want you to miss this detail. Disciple making is a both and kind of thing. It's about both guiding the lost and the unchurched to discover what we found in Jesus, while at the same time guiding other Christ followers or brand new Christ followers to develop in the things that we've come to develop in, right? As we show them how we've grown, we show them the things that we've come to know and the things that we've come to do for the glory of God. And so disciple making is this both and, right? It is both faith sharing, but also faith formation. You see that? It's this both and of faith sharing and faith formation. Faith sharing is about evangelism, and faith formation is about discipleship. This both and of evangelism and discipleship, and every disciple is a disciple maker, and disciple making is about evangelism and discipleship. And you hear that, and that's where you get scared as soon as you hear these big churchy words and you think, I'm not an evangelist. And I'm not even sure that I'm a disciple maker. But I don't want you to be scared of those two words. I don't want you to get stuck in a traffic circle, right? Where you just go, I don't know how to do this, and I'm so confused, and I'm just going to continue to repeat in this pattern. That's the negative type of coming full circle, and that's not what we're talking about. I want you to feel equipped, not overwhelmed. And so that's the perspective that I hope and pray that the Lord changes this morning, as you recognize that, no, you can't do this by yourself, but with the power of God in you, you can live as a disciple who makes disciples. And so when we go back to Matthew 4, we go back to the brothers and their encounter with Jesus in this passage. Go back to Matthew 4, verse 18, and let me show you something that I think will encourage you. It says, they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Casting a net into a lake makes perfect sense for someone who is a fisherman, right? This is what they do. This is who they are. And then Jesus says to them, come, follow me. It's an invitation to discover. It's a call and a command to develop. But then it follows up with, I will send you out. That's the call to deploy. And what? I will send you out to what? Look at it closely. Fish for people. Fish for people. I mean, they're fishermen, and what do fishermen do? They fish for fish. But Jesus invites them as disciple makers to fish for people. And what I love about this is what Jesus does is he takes what's familiar in their life, what's familiar as a part of their old identity, and he repurposes it for his purposes. He takes the familiar and he uses that to help them see what their ministry will be, to see what their life's calling will be, to see how they will live out this aim of being disciples who make disciples. And he wants to do that in you too. He wants to take the familiar in your life and repurpose it for the sake of the kingdom of God and for the work of being a disciple who makes disciples. And so, if you're a cake maker or a home builder or a pipe fitter, then it might be that what Jesus wants to do is to radically reorient your life. And he may want to take you from being a cake maker or a fisherman or whatever it is that you do and turn you into a pastor or a church planter or a staff minister or a missionary of some type that goes out and makes disciples. It might be that Jesus wants to do that. For some of you, that's actually something that's probably on your heart, something that you feel the Holy Spirit leading you into, and you need to lean into that and pray about that and have some boldness about next steps in regard to that. But the reality is, for most of you, if you're a cake maker or a home builder or a pipe fitter, what Jesus wants you to do is to be a cake maker who makes disciples. He wants you to be a home builder who helps people build their lives on the foundation of Christ. He wants you to be a pipe fitter that helps people to see that their story fits into the story of God and that there's something bigger going on here. Here's my point in all of this, y'all. The role, the goal is for God to take the familiar in your old identity as he builds this new identity and for you to embrace your new identity in Christ and your new priorities as a disciple who makes disciples. And so you build your whole life on this and it repurposes everything that you are and everything that you do as you live in this aim of the Christ-following life to come full circle and be a disciple who makes disciples. As we embrace this identity and we live in these priorities, what Jesus wants you to do is to reimagine who you are and what you do and how that can be leveraged for the purpose of making disciples, how all of that can be used in this Jesus-given mission to go and to make disciples. Remembering that every aspect of the disciple-making pathway, both the faith formation and also the faith sharing, it all flows through what? Think about it. Every piece of this, the evangelism and the discipleship, all of it flows through relationship. It's someone who guides others. This is all about relationship and connection with people. And as you think about these relationships and how Jesus wants to leverage your relationships for the purpose of making you a disciple who makes disciples, I want you to picture this in terms of some concentric circles, all right? You know what I'm talking about, concentric circles, like a target. Think about Target that you passed on the way here and their logo. You've got smaller circles that build out like a target, right? Look at that picture. And this is what your relationships look like. And at the very center, what you have is you and your relationship with God. That's the core, right? But out from that core, in the immediate next circle, you have your family. And from there, it builds out to your relatives and your friends. And from there, it builds out to your coworkers and your classmates and your neighbors. And from there, it builds out to your acquaintances, right? The people in your patterns and your rhythms of life, the cashier that you see over and over again, the waitress that you have over and over again, or maybe the stranger that you've never met and that you may never meet again. So you've got the most intimate and tight connections of relationships that begins with you and God, and then it moves out from there to your family and relatives and ultimately to your coworkers, classmates, and neighbors, and then all the way out to neighbors, acquaintances, and even strangers. And you have all of these different relationships that represent a lot of different connections. Think about all of those circles from the innermost to the outermost. That's a lot of connections, right? That's a lot of relationships that every single one of us have, and only you uniquely have the relationships that you have. No one else on all of planet Earth or on all of human history represents the same circle of relationships that you do. And God wants to use that. God wants to leverage those connections. And so it becomes the question of how do I look at the target of my life in these concentric circles and leverage these for the purpose of disciple-making, right? Who in these circles can I lead to discover what I have discovered in Jesus from the innermost to the outermost? Day to day to day, week to week to week, month to month to month, who in my circles can I lead to discover what I've discovered in Jesus? And who in my circles can I lead to develop the faith in Jesus, to share the things that I've learned, to show the things that I've learned to do, to share the ways that Christ is shaping my character and my knowledge and my understanding and my application of the scriptures. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that God has shared with you, how can you share that with someone else? Go back to Tori's story. I love the power of that story. Her older teenage sister brings her along as she lives deployed and she leads her sister to Christ. Isn't that awesome? What a great example that we have in that. So that becomes our idea of how do we embrace this new identity? How do we embrace these priorities and embrace this call to be disciples who make disciples? And as we do, will we rethink all of those concentric circles of relationships that God has given us and recognize that this truly does impact every single area of life. And so then we look at that target and it makes me think about this, right? Like, what does it look like for me to be a spouse who's a disciple maker? What does it look like for me to be a parent who makes disciples? And this begins to shift my understanding of what parenting is about. I recognize that I'm the primary disciple maker in the life of my children. Yes, the church is here to help me as a supplement, but I own this role to be disciple maker of my kids. What does it look like to be a family member like Tori's sister that says, you know what? I'm going to make disciples inside my own home and in my own family and among my own relatives and my friend groups. What does it look like to be a church member who makes disciples that says, yeah, I'm going to engage in small groups, whether it's babies or elementary or preschool or preteen or adults. I'm going to get in this and I'm going to own this disciple-making role. What does it look like to be a neighbor who does this, a student, a coworker, an employer or an employee whose life is built around Jesus' call to fish for people in all the different concentric circles of life? We begin to see that this is the aim of the Christ-following life, to be disciples who make disciples using the life that Jesus has given you. Being a cake maker who makes disciples, a home builder who helps people build their lives on Christ, being a pipe fitter who helps people see how they fit in the story of God. And y'all, there's one last point that I want to make from our passage this morning because I think it's powerful. Go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. Matthew 4, 20. At once, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. Jesus sees another pair of brothers who are also fishermen, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in the boat as a fisherman would be with their father, preparing their nets as a fisherman would do. And Jesus called them, and immediately, they left the boat and their father, and followed him. And so when you look at this, the calling of these disciples, and recognize that these fishermen were just like you and me, they were just simple Christ followers, followers of Christ who are disciples, and we look at how they responded. How did they respond to Jesus' call? Well, I see words like at once and immediately, and when it comes to this, when it comes to the priority of living our lives to make disciples, what I see is that there is a sense of urgency. That this is what life is about. And I don't want to waste any more time, but I want my life to be about this for the good of others and the glory of God. And if this is about urgency, then it shapes the way we ask these questions. And so then it becomes, how can I guide others now? Right? With what I've discovered, with the amount that I've developed, how can I be generous with others the way that God has been generous with me? And how can I guide others now? There's your answer to your question. Every disciple, a disciple maker, go and make disciples with what you have discovered and with what you have developed. How can you leverage your concentric circles of relationships now? How can you look from the innermost, from your family, all the way out to your acquaintances, to the outermost, and live your life in a daily kind of way where you're looking for people that need to discover the life in Christ, or you're looking for people that you can come alongside them and help them develop in their faith journey? How can you do that now? How can you come full circle on this pathway and be a disciple who's not only discovered and developed, but be a disciple who makes disciples now? And what I want to pray for us this morning is that we would have that kind of sense of urgency to step with boldness into the call that God has on our lives. Let me pray for you and for me. God, this morning, I thank you for Matthew 4 and how clear it is. I thank you for what we see in this. I thank you for how I see Jesus in this and how Jesus comes to life for me in these scriptures. Thank you that Jesus says to us, looking us into the eyes, come. Come into relationship. Come into new life. Come into forgiveness and freedom and new identity. Let me transform and change you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a life-changing Savior and rescuer, but that you are also Lord. And God, we want to grow in that. Thank you for the call to follow you and to grow in discipleship, to become more like you, for our loves to change, for them to be transformed as our affections for Christ grow and our affections for sin decreases. God, do that in us, that we might become more like Christ, not just in regards to sin, but in the way that we love mercy and grace and people. God, grow us in that. But also, God, I thank you for the way that the call of Jesus is so simple to deploy I will send you out. And God, send us. Give us a sense of urgency to be sent into our concentric circles of relationships, that we might make an impact, that we might be the kinds of people that change the world and do damage for the kingdom of God, that you would use the familiar in our lives, that we could help others to discover and develop what we have found in Christ our King. God, give us urgency in our hearts and motivate us, not just by the Spirit's work to call us to this, but to also equip us for this. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And church, that is what we want. As we continue to build out this pathway, we don't want to just call you to this. We want to help you develop in this. We want to equip you for this journey. And so we're going to continue to build the pathway. That's our job, to provide you with resources. And ultimately, there are going to be a lot of classes and resources to help us be better at this than we've ever been. But for now, I want you to focus your energy on the core deploy class. And it's ready for you. The way that you access it is to take your phone, put it on the camera, and scroll over that QR code that's on the seat back in front of you. You can do that right now as I talk. And as you do, that'll bring up a link tree, and you'll go down to more, and you'll find the deploy class right there, and that'll help you to engage in this web-based class that you can do at your own pace, at your own time, and you can begin to develop in what it is to deploy. Focus your energy on this deploy class, but know this, our mission is guiding people to take their next steps with God, so we want to help you as you become a disciple maker, be discipled so that you can deploy. So listen to me. If there's anything we can do to help you as you live your life to make disciples, you call us, you come find us, you connect with us, because we want to help guide you as you help guide others. Take that deploy class. Well, as we continue in this series, Circles, we're going to continue to do some things a little bit differently each Sunday morning. And one of the things that we're going to build into each of these weeks is some circle type conversation here at the BPF living room on the couch, so that you can hear more from than just the preachers, but you can hear some real life conversation. So Michelle, take it over.
All right. Well, I've introduced myself. You want to introduce yourself?
How y'all doing? I'm Justin Young. I was the, thank you. I was the seventh grade boys, junior high small group leader last year. And I'm in college small group. And I also was the junior high boys intern this past summer. So, yeah.
He is also one of the faces and voices that you will see on those deploy video classes that, or the deploy class videos, switch it, that Randy just talked about. So you'll want to check those out and you can see more of Jay. So I'm with Joseph that the best foods are the circular foods. Some of the most delicious foods are circular foods. So which is your favorite food that's a circle?
Oh, pancakes by far. I eat those every morning.
That's true. I don't know. You've got pizza, you've got cheeseburgers, you've got tortillas, which are needed for tacos. That's kind of my big three right there. But I think I've got to go pizza. But then I remembered I could get a savory and a dessert. So my favorite, I think, dessert, because I remembered the brew and bake oatmeal cream pie. Have y'all ever had that? Oh, my Lanta. Please go get one if you've never had one. They're so good. Well, that's circular foods. But the circle we really want to talk about is what Randy just talked about and coming full circle and being deployed. And so, you know, what he talked about was that the way we do that, the way we live deployed and guide others to take their next steps, is by intentionally leveraging our life and where we are in order to do that. And so I wanted to ask Jay a little bit about that, because he's got some experience with his where you are not being the where he thought he would be. So Jay, tell us a little bit about your last year or so.
Yeah, so I think like any or most high school seniors last year, beginning of 2020, I thought I was going to go off to college. That did not happen. So I was here, and it's pretty tough, but got through it. I became a few people at the church reached out to me to be a small group leader, and I was like, okay, I'm in. So I became a small group leader, but I told Joseph, I was like, dude, when spring comes around, I'm going to transfer, so I don't know what you're going to do about that. And he was like, nah, no, you're not. And I was like, okay. So sure enough, spring came around, and I did not transfer, so he was right.
And here we are.
Yep, so, I mean, last year was pretty tough, but...
I wanted him to share that, because I know nobody else in here can relate to the idea of last year looking differently than they thought it would, right? Do y'all understand? Do y'all get it? Yeah. He and so what I love about his story is that he really dug in with where he was. And another thing that Randy said, and I'm going to read it because I want to say it the way he said it. He said, every aspect of disciple making, both faith sharing, so sharing Jesus with people who don't know him yet, as well as faith formation, so helping people grow in their faith in Jesus, flows through relationship. And I think the key to that is that that makes it so much less scary than I know I can think it is sometimes. And so I just wanted to ask you also how you found that to be true to you, the relationship, both people pouring into you and guiding you to take your next steps, and then you forming relationships to guide other people.
Yeah, for sure. So this past like year and a half, I go play basketball on Thursdays with a few people from this church and pretty much around town from everywhere. And a few people there I really lean on with anything. And like I'll come to them with a simple question and I'll be like, why is this like it is in the Bible? And they'll go on for like 30 minutes, giving me an answer. And then after they give me that 30-minute answer, I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. And they're like, now you go read it. And I'm like, dude, I don't like to read. So they challenged me all summer, especially this summer. And they, you know, challenged me to read and learn up on what, you know, was in the scripture. So, and then I would then take that and take it to the boys I was kind of mentoring and stuff this summer.
Yeah, I love how you talk about how your next steps both came through those relationships of those people pouring into you and then you getting to live that out. Kind of like what Tori said, doing for others what was done for her. And this guy is a relationship machine. I don't know if you could tell by the cheering that happened when he introduced himself, but he will stand in my driveway and know every person in every car that drives by. He'll be like, hey, oh, hey, how's it going? That's my old mailman. I'm like, okay, great. Yeah. Well, then I saw him at the gym one time and I'm doing my thing on the treadmill. I was like, oh, hey, Jay's coming in. And I'm like waving like an idiot from the treadmill, and he stops and says hi to like six people on his way over to me. So it's fine. Use that to make disciples. So what part of your story is that when Jesus says to go make disciples, he's talking about where you already are, what you're already doing. So sometimes making disciples means stay and make disciples where you are, but sometimes it does mean go, and you are about to go somewhere. You want to tell the people about that?
I am going to Oxford. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to Texas State University.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Well, either Texas State has some fans or you've got some more fans. I'm not sure which it is. But as you are getting ready to go and be a disciple maker, be a student who is a disciple maker, how does that kind of help you think through moving to a new place?
Yeah, so this past month, all I've been hearing is you're going to find what you're looking for when you go to college. So definitely going to be looking for Jesus, you know, and people, because I love both of them. And I'm just going to be, you know, intentional with the relationships I make so that they, you know, are everlasting and they're stronger, you know. So just intentional with what I do, everything I do.
I think that's key for all of us to think about, for me to think about. How can I be a disciple maker doing the things we're going to be doing anyway? We're going to be playing basketball anyway, so look for opportunities to be intentional while you're doing that. Going to the school anyway, going to the gym anyway, going to the Little League ball fields anyway. Those are the things that you're already doing. Those are the concentric circles that we already have. So how can we be intentional about those?